And welcome back to Cinema Fino. Hope you enjoyed all those power chords I was just playing.
What's up, bitches?
We're back for another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This time, we are going to drink some horseshoes and hand grenades wine.
Uh-huh.
It's a red blend out of Oregon. Quite tasty. Actually, I've never... This was my first sip I just now took.
So. I mean, Travis is balls deep in it, but let's see.
Sorry, guys.
I'll be honest, I was captivated by the tasting notes for this one. Oh. So this is a new one.
I approve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's quite good. I mean, just from having a couple sips of it now, it's like kind of medium bodied.
Yeah,
it
tastes like our second bottle of wine for the night, but this is
third.
Smooth.
Yeah,
easy Travis, drinking. This is a completely different day. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
This is our first drink of the day, my friend.
Yeah. If I'm going to fuck up this podcast, I will have people know that I drank one full bottle of wine before this happened. Guys, y'all are in for a doozy of a toozy.
Yeah. Ooh, there's a title right there. but yeah, this we definitely I've hit record this time. We are going.
Yes.
So we are on records.
Two times in a row.
What notes you got for me on this horseshoes and hand
grenades? What did we watch? What do we drink?
We are drinking horseshoes and hand grenades, and it's kind of a Pinot-ish tasting blend. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an easy drinking, light-bodied, medium-bodied, fruity red blend.
The label is very sexy.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I would
say it's called horseshoes and hand grenades because it's a blend that they just throw a bunch of stuff into.
It definitely sounds like it. Yeah, and it's like
nice. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and like a lot of blends, it's kind of designed to be crowd pleasing, please as many people as you can with as many kind of a wide palette of flavors. So.
It's also a bluegrass band.
Oh, interesting. Which kind of fits the Oregon, culture aesthetic and of like a little bit hipstery.
Yeah.
Kind of works.
Todd, you got a horsefly inside your house.
Yeah, there's a giant bug.
Wow. Good call.
That is the fifth member of our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 145 degrees outside. So the fly is just trying to keep it.
Did someone, are we concerned that someone got shrunk?
Did you just say Eric Clapton?
Wait, what?
The fifth Beatle.
Okay.
Who's the fifth? Golden Girl.
The Beatles.
It's the gay roommate from the first episode that got cut out after the pilot.
Ooh. Yeah.
Played by?
Deep cut. I don't know.
Yeah, James Woods. Yeah. I mean, no, it's tough to say. I don't know if there really was a fifth Golden Girl.
James Woods. He was cut out in the pilot episode. He just Sean.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So Blade 2 was our sequel for today. And a few quick little hits on Blade 2. Came out March 22nd, 2002. And it was a sequel to a successful part one starring Wesley Snipes as the Marvel, can we call him a superhero?
Anti-hero?
Anti-hero is closest. I mean, he's one of the Midnight Suns, kind of the supernatural Marvel heroes.
What would you say, and this is going to get a little bit nerdy here for a second, what would you say is Blade's character alignment?
Ooh, I'd say...
neutral good?
I mean, it's chaotic good or maybe neutral good, but like all he gives a shit about is killing vampires who, killed his mother.
Yeah.
And so he's not doing it because he wants to save or cleanse the world. He's pissed.
It's a
vengeance. I mean, it's a little bit of that, but he's just like, those motherfuckers.
But he does have a distinct motivation, which I think puts him in the neutral category.
But in the comics, he does fight other supernatural creatures just besides vampires.
Chupacabras.
World.
Yetis.
Yeah.
Chupacabras.
Which chupacabras are just goat vampires in Mexico.
Oh, that's true. Goat suckers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Tie it back.
So this film, directed by Guillermo del Toro.
I'm pretty sure I have a comic where Wolverine fights a Wendigo.
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 Yeah. Damn straight.
Yep.
Basically, Wendigos. A cannibalistic,
Native American,
Canadian, basically an abominable snowman.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah,
with a tail.
I knew it was kind of Yeti-ish.
Yep. Yet.
So Guillermo del Toro steps in this time as a director. Stephen Norrington directed the first film,
which is a great tie-in to another movie that we reviewed recently, which was Hellboy 2.
Yeah, exactly.
And the villain in this was also the villain in Hellboy 2.
Same actor, Luke Goss, I believe was the name.
And I was surprised he hasn't done more, or at least, that we would recognize in the States anyway.
Yeah. All three Blade films are written by David S. Goyer, who also wrote Dark City, all of the Dark Knight trilogy, or at least he co-wrote the Dark Knight trilogy with the Nolan.
Christopher Nolan.
And several of the recent DCEU movies like Batman v Superman and Man of Steel.
Yeah, so lets you know that his shit don't always stink.
That's an interesting statement.
That was okay. Deep. We will circle back.
And I approve of that. I was yes. Like, that was too deep.
Travis should be writing blurbs.
Yeah.
So in this film, Blade teams up with the vampires to take out an even more dangerous threat than in the first film. There's some kind of hybrid mutant vampire that feeds on vampires and turns them evil.
Which we will refer to as the Reapers.
The vampire
exactly.
Vampires.
True. Yeah.
Travis really enjoys that. I kind of thought they were kind of zombie type creatures, but they also kind of resemble, was it Vens from Game of Thrones? Is that what they were called? The bald.
Oh yeah, the cannibals. Fins? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fins.
A little bit,
yeah.
But yeah, they fins. Were a playoff of the Nosferatu from like 1921, yeah. 1922 when
played by
the silent movie. No, by like shit. Max Schreck.
Yes. Ironically that was his name.
And what Schneider directed it? I can't remember. F. W. Schneider. Fuck, I can't remember. Anyway. Yes,
I should know that.
They couldn't after Dracula was turned into a play, they wanted to make a movie, but they couldn't get the rights to the Dracula name. So they just called the homeboy Count Orlok and basically made a silent film like that. And then it was the widow of Bram Stoker sued them. And then they, I guess they couldn't keep the prince, but it's basically free, kind of like the Night of the Living Dead. So you can find it somewhere on black and white. And it's called just Nosferatu. So that's what these Reapers are, that, you know, super kind of weird rat-like, funky teeth, bald, and pointy ears.
Yeah, pretty scary.
Yep.
And so Blade, to kill these people, these creatures, gets basically tasked with this elite, like, vampire killing or vampire, like, suicide squad. Hmm. Where you get, like, all the different types of people. You know, it's like you get the edgy dude that hates authority, and it's Ron Perlman in this situation. And then there's
Reinhardt.
Yeah. And there's like the love interest, and then there's a couple of other guys.
You get
like,
Danny Yen.
Yeah. You get the.
I don't know if you've seen Ip Man, but Ip Man 1, 2, 3, Danny Yen is amazing.
Yeah.
And he has some. The Force is with Me?
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Star Wars Rogue One.
Yep.
He's in quite a few things. He shows up all over the map.
Great actor.
Yeah. He got taken out like a punk in this. I was like, oh, yeah. And then I forgot that he had an off screen death. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Bummer. Norman Reedus plays Scud.
Yes.
And his
Walking Dead fame.
Yes. And he,
Boondock Saints. I had to say both. Yeah, Jesus Christ. I don't know why I said Walking Dead first. I'm sorry, Todd.
He looks like his name sounds.
Oh yeah. He looks rough.
Yeah.
He cute.
And his character is kind of the understudy for Whistler, who is, I would say, Blade's man in the chair armor.
Yeah.
And one thing I wondered was how Kris Kristofferson plays Whistler.
Yeah.
How did he explain this to, like, as his best friends are like Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson.
Right.
And Waylon Jennings. How did he explain this movie to those guys?
Well, like the second movie?
How did he explain his character?
Yeah. He's basically Alfred.
Yeah.
I mean, is what he comes down to.
Well, he's like an angrier Alfred.
Yeah.
I kick some vampires in the balls.
He's redneck Alfred.
Yeah, exactly. He's just, he's just like, he was like,
and Q.
I'm kind of, exactly. He's kind of a mashup, really.
Mm-hmm. He's Bobby Singer from Supernatural. He's just like the old crotchety guy that's just like giving advice, you know, helping him out along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy in the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's real salty one-liners. I forget what
he calls. I love
that. Like, you know, honestly, I fucking love him in all these
movies. I did. And like his limp makes even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, with the blood back's calling the shots now. It's like, good Lord, you are crusty.
Yeah.
His limp that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I still love it though.
I'm so confused about what happened to his character.
Yeah. Guys, I'll go ahead and apologize here because I'm going to get like Blade 2 and Blade Trinity mixed up because I watched Blade Trinity right after.
Oh,
so I'm going to start talking about stuff and it's not going to be right. I really want to talk about Parker Posey, but it's not happening.
One thing I have in my notes watching this movie was this movie attended the Die Hard School of One-Liners.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think that's why I liked it so much.
You don't know who you're fucking with.
Yeah.
And also, what was it? Do You Blush?
Oh, which,
same writer dusted this off for Batman v Superman of Do You Bleed?
Yeah.
It's like, well, they should have retired that one.
Yeah.
And then I also have here was Blade's mother named Martha. It's something to think about.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, Martha. Del Toro left this franchise to direct Hellboy, like we said. Blade Trinity was a very troubled production. Snipes' erratic behavior, including clashes with classmates, castmates, and the director, brought the strong series to a sour conclusion.
That's it. On the third set, not the second.
Yeah, on Blade Trinity with, apparently, and it was just in the news recently again, that he allegedly grabbed the director, writer, David S. Goyer, around the throat.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
throttled him.
Allegedly. Yeah.
And then was also, and Patton Oswalt, like 10 fucking years ago, did an interview about how the problems between the director and Wesley Snipes and Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel were like, man, he really does not like this. Because he felt he was being written out at that point.
Yeah.
They were bringing on like a new young crowd, and he's like, hey, I'm the franchise star, and
he's like Bruce Willis in Die Hard.
Well, wasn't that? Yeah, I mean, and wasn't that the classic scene where it was like, it was kind of an end scene, and Ryan Reynolds looks over and is like, he hates me, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But they left it in the film because it was like, it was true, but it was like the scene was over and he was like, he just hates me, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it was what I've heard.
Yeah,
but I cannot confirm nor deny.
And I have here that the franchise rights have returned to Marvel. They returned about 10 years ago, I guess, to Marvel.
I think it was right around the same time that the Daredevil Netflix series started, right? Because the Daredevil and the Blade rights defaulted at the same time.
Yeah, it could be.
Because they were being owned by Sony, right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, wait, no. New Line Cinema was Blade.
Yeah.
But
okay,
at least for a while. And then they had, in 2004, they had a TV series on Spike. Is Spike still a thing?
Probably.
And it only lasted one season. It was not great.
Well, and the thing was, they only had to make some sort of content with it every three years or something just to retain the rights to it. And I think at some point, either Marvel bought it out or they just waited them out where they're like, you're not going to make anything.
That's why they did the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man series. Yeah. And that's why Josh Trank did another like Fantastic Four.
It's a shitty reason to do a movie.
It's just for the sake of making a movie to retain the rights, which is honestly cost effective.
And originally it was, we'll get to Blade 2 at some point soon.
Yeah, maybe.
But Roger Corman, back in 1994, did the very first unreleased Fantastic Four movie. It was horrible, but it was 1994. But he just started and finished it. Didn't tell anybody in the production that it was never meant to be released.
Yeah.
But just so that they could retain the rights.
Yeah. Wow. A new Blade movie is in pre-production right now.
Mahershala
Ali. Mm-hmm. It will be
Oh my God.
The MCU's Phase 5.
And Mahershala Ali was in Luke Cage. So it's
played the first good villain of season one before they flipped it.
Yes.
And then had Ma was still great in that. I can't remember her name, but then they brought in like Sidewinder.
Angela Bassett?
Diamondback?
No. Is it
Alfre? Yes, Alfre Woodard, because she was also, it was an actress who is in the MCU more than once. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was somebody that appeared twice.
But yeah, I think that, you know, it's kind of a signal that they're retconning Luke Cage in the Defenders saga.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mama. Continue.
Yes. Filming on the new Blade will commence sometime next year for a release after apparently the reboot of Fantastic Four.
Nice.
So it's
going to be slated for like 2023?
Three or four. Yeah.
2024?
Yeah.
Okay.
It will be one of the first movies in Phase 5.
Really going to be interested to see how they fold him into the greater Marvel universe.
Yeah. I'm curious here, Travis's thoughts on that. I think he would fit in very well with like the Defenders, Daredevil, like street level New York kind of a thing.
Blade. Yeah. Here's what always happens. He has a team up with somebody, like shows up in Spider-Man and he's like, yeah, I'm fighting these vampires. And then for some reason, Spider-Man's like, what? Vampires? Vampires don't exist. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's like, no, they totally are.
You got bit by a radioactive spider.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
believe vampires exist?
So sometimes they go that route. And sometimes they're like, you know, no, you can't kill somebody. That's wrong. And he's like, they're dead. They're undead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does work well. I think he joined the Avengers. Man, I've been out of pocket with keeping current with comics for quite a while. But yeah, he's mainly street level with street level heroes like Heroes for Hire, Iron Fist, Daredevil, Luke Cage, all those bad boys. He's a little higher than that though, just because he's got
all
the vampire powers and the weaknesses. Now he doesn't have, he can't like, as far as I know, unless they've changed it, he can't like shape change. He can't turn into mist or a bat or a wolf. And I don't think he can like hypnotize people, but he has like all the main physical powers.
But he's resistant to vampires hypnotizing him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so exactly.
It's a good power to have.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear Tay's opinion.
Oh, for Blade 2?
Yeah.
Whose movie was this?
I don't know. Better than Trav's.
I think this was just because I was wanting to watch it again.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to it. I really was.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say this, and I'm going to totally put Travis on the spot here.
Oh, dear.
This was during my vampire phase. So Travis and I were roommates in college.
Oh, that's right.
And he was really getting me into a lot of movies at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because we didn't have TV and all.
No.
You could only watch my movies. That's how I got Taylor to watch the extended edition of Fellowship of the Ring. And I got him fucking hooked. And I was like, God damn it. I'm going to turn Taylor into a nerd.
Yeah.
And he did say, he was like, hey, this, actually, I believe I saw The Two Towers first. Because you were like, hey, this movie's in theaters. We got to go see it. And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But anyway, long story short, around this time, I think we did watch Blade in the room. But there was also this little video game called Blood Omen 2.
Yeah, it's from the Legacy of Kain series.
And I got violently addicted to this game. And I, during my Google searches, they came out at the same time.
Yeah, it was 2000.
Well, yeah, yeah, 2000. Like the exact same day. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was like,
oh, shit.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I was like, what the hell? I can't remember when you had the game, but I remember I already watched Blade. And then when Blade 2 came out, we watched it. And again, just, I fucking loved the film. And, you know, it was, I mean, we've talked about it. It's so well done.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great one-liner. But to me, it resembles the fucking, like, Die Hard, like, early trilogy.
Yeah.
It was, you know, four and whatever else is bullshit. But, like, it was like, you know, hey, we've already introduced Blade, just like any other sequel. Like, well, we already know what this person is.
Yeah.
We have to introduce these all new characters. And, man, the whole other storyline, kind of like Hellboy 2, just fucking killed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love the storyline. And, like, I don't know. To me, I can't say anything bad about it.
Yeah.
I fucking love
it. It's a great movie. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. How did this budget compare to the first one?
It's similar, a little bit more. The first Blade,
it made more money.
It did.
I did see that.
Blade 2 made more money?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
The first Blade was budgeted around $40 million, and it grossed, I think, around $90, $95 million. This one was budgeted around $55
million. Made it over 100, right?
And it made more.
Like 155, 160 million.
Yeah, this was the highest performing, basically.
Yeah.
And I would argue the best of the three Blade films.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
one. I don't know.
I really love Blade 1.
It's like Blade 1 was a delightful film.
Yeah.
And then the reason why I love Blade 2, totally fucking different.
Yeah.
I mean, other than at the end of every Blade film, he has to either drink blood or do something.
All right.
And grab some sunglasses.
I will give you that.
Blood
bath. Mm-hmm.
Can I say, every time he does it, because I watched Blade Trinity after this, anytime he gets blood, this movie becomes a fucking Popeye cartoon. he pops the spinach, blood.
I was gonna say,
and
like
then
Superman
he's like on
sun,
fucking crack, and he's like beating everybody's ass, and saying cool one-liners, picking up his sunglasses, putting them back on, doing flips. They never leave his face.
Didn't someone throw the sunglasses on him, and he like caught?
Oh yeah,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Without
looking,
he just like caught it behind his head, and
And actually, this movie is one that pioneered, or Guillermo del Toro did, I guess, body scans of the actors. Because if you remember, when the ninja vampires jump down and they're in front of those guard lights or god lights or whatever, it's just a fully CGI person that they were fighting back and forth because they were doing such big like jumps, or they would jump up or off the wall and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit pioneering there, as far as I know, because this was back when you would also watch DVD commentary on films, and I watched the commentary. And Guillermo del Toro wanted the crazy Reaper vampires because recently Interview with a Vampire had come out. He was like, well, you know, I wanted to make something vampires that were scary that weren't like Brad Pitt when flawless makeup. Like,
yeah, this was like Fine and Rice era of vampires.
And
GDT, love him, to his credit, he was, you know, English is not his first language, but he was like, if Brad Pitt's coming to suck you, you're not scared. But if these things are coming to suck you, and then like, you're afraid. That's like, oh, this is maybe not a good idea.
But yeah.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I caught some parallels to Hellboy, or at least like Guillermo del Toro's work on both Hellboy films, where it's like lead character is kind of an anti-hero, kind of anti-authority, but also he has like some greater destiny of like, in the, with Hellboy, you know, he's like the son of the devil.
Yeah.
You know, Blade is like the hybrid son of a, you know, vampire and human who may, you know, have the key to whatever, like, you know, his blood may be set off the vampire war. His blood may grant some sort of immortality, or his blood, it's like he himself is like almost like a MacGuffin in of himself.
And there were two scenes in the film and that reminded me a lot of Hellboy, obviously. But there were, I can't remember the first one, but I think the second one is when you have all of the vampire hunters and they split up and it's very quiet and you're seeing little vignettes of like what's happening to the others, like Whistler's getting attacked by Ron Perlman, and the dude, the other actor, he was in the first Fast and the Furious. How pissed is he that he got killed in the first movie?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
And then you've got whatever Lighthammer and our homeboy, IP Man. What's his name?
Gosh, I had it in front of mind.
Lighthammer, his lady friend, and the one with the Force is with Me guy. Fuck, I can't remember. Dan something?
Nope.
Donnie.
Nope.
Well, fuck me.
Danny Yen.
Yeah,
Danny Yen. Yeah, we were there. Samsonite.
And yeah, you see them and he gets killed. And then you've got Blade's love interest and her boy going off. And then you've got Blade.
Not love interest, like neutral interest at best.
Blade is sitting there just like looking at a skeleton. But Del Toro does that all the time. He like splits them up. And then you also see Scud and Whistler in the car. He's like building the tension before some shit goes down.
Yeah.
There was another scene in the same movie that's kind of like that, and I can't think of what
it is. Well, there's a similar scene in Hellboy, I think, when Hellboy and Abe Sapien are like divided, like some sort of like rock collapse or some sort of door closes or something, and they're having to investigate the same thing on opposite sides of the wall, and he keeps jumping back and forth between the two, like
building
independent investigation.
Building tension.
That also kind of harkens back to Aliens. James Cameron was a big fan of that, of like separating the people out and like having all hell break loose on different people in different like corridors or hallways.
Dramatic irony, and like having the viewer be able to see, oh, I see what's going on here. I see what's going on over here. I know what's going to happen because this tension's building.
Mm-hmm. The first one was when they go into the House of Pain, the dance place, and they're all like fanning out and trying to find. So there's that where they're going down there, and then when they're in the sewers.
Yeah.
So
what is the timing of this movie with the second Matrix movie where they also had the same like goth dance clubs?
The next year, I think, was when Matrix Reloaded came out, 2003.
Yeah, because it was like two in 1 year, basically. Yeah.
Pretty close.
Was that just... Granted, I was 12 in 2002. Was that what everyone was doing in those days? Was just like going to...
It's what I was doing.
To goth leather-clad clubs. Yeah.
Pretty much.
There's a good chance every night you'd find me at a rave.
Yeah.
So,
a lot of leather.
Yeah.
A lot of leather.
I was big in the trap music.
And there were like two shots in Blade 2 that I thought were really great. There was the one where Blade is talking... Well, the shot itself wasn't hard.
Blade.
But he's... all the Reapers are going to attack him in the water, and he throws the light grenade, basically. He's like, y'all do not know who you're fucking with.
Yeah.
But he's got he puts the blade underneath the water, his sword, and you see all the other ones getting ready to jump up. I thought that was good, but like the one greatest shot that they used in the trailer was the super old vampire, Damaskinos, like, going into the blood bath. I was like, oh, that's a beautiful shot.
Can I just say how disappointed I am in Damaskinos never showing off his power, never being cool? He was just old the entire time. Yeah. Fucking sucked.
The coolest thing about him is that he had blue blood.
He was literally a blue blood.
Yeah. He was cool because he was just like old and like showed off that he was old, and he's like, I am the oldest vampire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to follow what I do.
Halfway through,
I like that accent.
Thank you.
Don't lose that accent.
If these Reaper vampires are only killing other vampires and then they die off pretty quickly, like, I don't know why Blade wouldn't like, fuck this. and then just peaced out and let, you know, them kill all the vampires and then slowly starve. I mean, I guess they would have turned to humans.
But. So, I mean, plot twist, because, you know, spoilers, it was his son the entire time. Yeah. It was Damaskino's son.
Yeah.
How did his daughter not realize, like, oh, man, where did my brother go?
Yeah. Yeah,
I was wondering that, too. At no point was she just like...
No, I don't... It wasn't his a brother. He had used his own stuff and then, like, grown this guy, right? Wasn't he one of the embryos?
I was unclear on that.
It seemed like he was a pure blood that they were trying to... I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
There wasn't enough...
seemed like he hadn't been around for that
long. I needed more exposition about the origins of... The Reapers.
No.
Nomak. That was
Luke Goss's character, the main Reaper.
Yeah.
I thought Nomak was his name in
Hellboy.
Hellboy 2.
No, that was Nuada.
Nuada.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
But Nomak is a good, like, Sean Connery. He's like, Nomak.
Nomak.
Nomak. You're finished here.
It was actually from The Rock. Womack.
that's right. Womack. Yeah. The last thing I want to say, I don't know how much time we have left. I really need us to sit and talk about Ron Perlman real quick.
Yeah.
Because the villains in this, obviously, the main vampire, Damaskinos, we don't give a shit about. Luke Goss was kind of the main villain. And he had, like, you know, he had his reasons. They want to give the villain a actual reason for being a villain.
Yeah.
But I loved the, you know, you have your main hero, main villain. I loved the Blood Pack. With Ron Perlman and the rest of the crew.
What a cool name.
The Super Soldiers.
Because
Suicide Squad.
The entire time, and you have a great scene with Wesley Snipes and Ron Perlman right when they meet, because the Blood Pack has been training for 2 years just to kill Blade.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally see their quarry, and they're like, well, shit, we got to team up. This bullshit.
Yeah.
And they're natural enemies. And it's just great. The level of tension that group of characters brings to every scene,
mm-hmm.
and they're just like mad shit talking, and he's got the bomb in the back of his neck, and
yeah,
a shitty bomb doesn't even work.
Yeah, well,
spoilers,
or do it,
yeah,
or do it,
yeah,
yeah. It was that was Reinhardt was the best villain in this movie for me.
Yeah, and great actor playing him.
Oh yeah,
which doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
good shit.
And yeah, that definitely introduced Del Toro to Ron Perlman.
I think he knew him.
I was going to say, was that his
City of Lost Children, which we might need to watch for this.
Well, yeah.
Put a pin in that.
But yeah. Which I saw, I think, on VHS when it came out.
Oh,
back City in the
Lost
day.
Children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to revisit. It's been forever since I've seen it.
I just still love the way that Guillermo del Toro builds monsters. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I don't think we'd ever seen anything like the Stalkers or the Reapers that have like the jaws that open
up.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Little predator like.
And they really go into the design. They're like, oh, let's do an autopsy on this Reaper. We can see like, oh, look at this venom that comes out of this thing. Look at the thing that comes out of this. And then that also puts that thing in the back of your head. That's like, oh, that hammer guy got sucked on by the Reaper earlier.
Which was Carpenter's The Thing. The first time they really did like a true autopsy of the creature, tried to like examine it. Or
that's the one that sticks out.
I
want to
say they did
head.
Something with Alien.
So I know Independence Day had Brent Spiner doing
because in Alien they had like an X-ray of the facehugger as it was on, and they were trying to figure out like the
physiology.
Oh, that's right. They tried to do that, and then
because the facehugger it falls off after it dies, right? Yeah. And so they try to cut into it, and the acid spurts out,
and they're like, "JK, LOL, we'll wait."
Yeah, and
also Ron Perlman tie-in to the Alien universe.
Yeah, or Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Yeah,
somewhere in there, saw that in the theater.
Oh, my condolences.
Yeah, it was rough. I did not see Alien 3 in the theater, which I love the first two Alien movies. I thought they were great.
Oh, they're yeah.
Yeah.
Scrumptious.
Yeah.
I love the whole series. I mean, I'll be honest.
Yeah, Resurrection's not bad either. I think I like Resurrection better than 3, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Blade 2 was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We liked it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it slaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It aged well for a movie from 2002.
It was a definite upgrade over the previous movie that we watched.
Yeah, one of the rare sequels that's like just as good, if not better, than the original.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and this came out right around the same time as Spider-Man 2, right?
Yeah, it's
like Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 1 came out around 2002. Spider-Man 2 came out around
2004.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man 2 was the biggest splash box office wise, right?
Yeah. It was up there.
Dr. Octopus.
That was like that was the peak of the pre-Marvel comic book movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so
for sure.
Blade, Hellboy, they were just kind of playing around in the kiddie pool. Spider-Man 2 made it happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that was really the motivation for the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So here's a tough question. Is Spider-Man 2 the best Spider-Man movie so far?
No.
I don't think so.
I still think the first Tobey Maguire
that film one slapped.
Is the best.
Yeah.
Because it's the introduction. Two is great because you keep moving on and you've got a better villain in my mind. I'm biased. I love Dr. Octopus. I'll say it.
A great actor playing him again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Perfect actor.
Yep. Yeah.
So, okay, so Sean, if it's not that one, what do you think is the best Spider-Man movie?
Dave, you're up next.
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I really like the Tom Holland Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Perfect casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one, it's perfect casting. The budget is just right. I mean, they threw so much money at it. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, the writing is better. Spider-Man 2, the original one, is just, it's fine, you know, and the story is good.
Yeah.
But it was very dated when you go back and watch it. It's not as good as the ones you watch now.
No. It's the best of the three Tobys, though.
Yeah, it's the best of the three Tobys, for sure. He doesn't do, like, awkward jazz dances. And,
God
like,
bless.
That's my jam, though.
That is.
Yeah, I mean,
brutal. I practice that in the mirror.
I mean, it makes great memes 20 years later.
Yes,
but
that is what matters. Honestly, if we grade movies just on the memes, I mean, SpongeBob and Spider-Man would be the pinnacle of
something. Kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Tay, your thoughts.
Best Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Far From Home and, honestly, the first Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because the first one to me was just like kind of like my introduction to it.
Yeah.
And also Travis let a really big fart in the very at the funeral scene. And I remember,
I think that was my fourth time seeing it.
Yeah. And I remember like, and it might have been my second time seeing it, and there was just this huge fart and we were just giggling about it during the funeral scene. And I was just like, and Travis kept doing his,
forgot about that.
He kept laughing and then I kept laughing. And then another friend of ours was like, Dad, he was like looking over like, what in the hell is going on? Because we're just like giggling.
So
was
Daddy, that like why are they tooting?
Yeah.
And that's why I started having Coney Islander after the movie.
So was that like during the Great Power or Great Responsibility? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It is my gift. It is my
curse. I remember the scene vividly. It was...
It was Norman Osborn's funeral.
Yeah,
and they were walking away.
And he said, he's like, I'm going to kill Spider-Man. It's like, what? I was like, what in the hell is happening? It was like the most awkward, beautiful moment. And it was like, I'm going to find him and I'm going to kill him.
Credits.
It was just like, oh, shit. I was just like, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It's beautiful.
Everybody clear out of the theater.
Yeah.
So it was like American Beauty with like just rose petals.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God. Credit scenes.
Yeah. It was perfect.
All right.
It was poot for it.
Yeah, I did love 2. 3 was maybe the worst. No. Mm. That's just a bad film in general.
Yes.
Hey.
That's just a bad...
It's a fine film.
It's just a bad film in general.
Guys, we gotta wrap this bitch up.
Yeah.
Blade 2, good. Watch. Yes. Now available to watch all 3
of Blade's HBO Max.
Max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sponsor us.
Guillermo del Toro.
Exactly. Also, Quiznos opened another location in Tulsa.
Did they wear?
Did they really? I did not know that.
I'm asking.
Don't hype me up like that.
I said Quiznos.
It's like, man.
Please open another location in Tulsa.
They should actually sponsor us and send us sandwiches.
Exactly. Yeah. Black Forest ham. Mm.
And let me send a brownie through the heater.
Oh, you get an M&M cookie and send it through that oven?
Prime rib and peppercorn.
Very good.
Great sandwich.
Yeah.
Great sandwich.
Oh, yeah. I agree completely. Yeah. Or you get the chicken salad sandwich or whatever. You get it on like the Italian herbs and cheese, whatever the hell the Quiznos equivalent of that. It's kind of a crunchy bread.
Uh-huh.
Really, really good.
Guys, if you want to talk to us about Quiznos, it's hashtag Quiznos. Yeah. But also,
that's our next podcast. Yeah. Is the Quiznos sandwiches. Yeah. We're going to rate.
Check us out on our second hashtag podcast. Quizzes on Quiznos. Yeah.
The second hashtag to talk about Quiznos is hashtag rock the Q.
Hashtag Q&A. Oh my God. And it's like, make sure you hold the black olives because I think that's gross on a sub. I'm sorry.
Nothing that's gross.
They are extremely gross. So, it's been another episode of Cinema Vino.
It has been.
Thank you all very much.
We're sorry.
Tay, Trav, Sean, thank you all again for being here and being with me.
Rock you want Brad Pitt to suck you.
Hashtag Q&A.
And I would like to say for the record that in the previous podcast before Honey We Shrunk the Kids. My wife verified that we are the Golden Girls that we claim to be.
Damn right.
Without
That's
even
right. Yeah. When asked independently,
unprompted.
Yep.
She knew that I'm Sophia. Yep.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
So in conclusion,
in like a lion.
My wife thinks I'm a batty old Sicilian woman. We will see you guys next time.
Thanks, Mom.
And you don't like black olives.
To learn more about Cinema Vino, check out our website at cinemavino.net. You can also listen, rate, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at toddwoffordmovies.com.